Now listen very carefully. The Lord said that He wanted to raise up many in this body, to have miracle power, to heal the sick. And He said that He wanted to encourage us that He would do the impossible. So if you say impossible, you say, yes, I'll do the impossible. Now, this world, God has called us, I'll say this first, God has called us to a specific ministry, a ministry of revelation, of getting certain truths that this universal, the universal body of Christ desperately needs in this hour. And that they come to a heart holiness and prepare to be the bride of Christ. And have anointed ministry in music and walk in the power of God. I want to tell you that the church world is not going to significantly listen to us, nor the non-church world, unless we go out with power and demonstration of God. And God wants to give that power. Amen? But God said that He does not want to ruin us by giving us the power. God said many will prostrate themselves at your feet and worship you, and it could destroy you, even meaning the loss of your eternal salvation. Now, if you know what I know, and you see what I've seen, that is exactly what will happen. The Christians of this world are dead ripe for the Antichrist. They are looking for magic and power. Now, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And the scripture says that the apostles went out and did great many signs and wonders, and the people believed. God wants to send forth miracle power. And yet, people are at a place where they do not live by the word, although they think they do. The word is not first and foremost in their life. They're looking for experiences. Experiences are over the word to them. And they are dead ripe for charlatans. Anybody with power, they'll believe anything they teach them doctrinally if they can see the power. Well, if you've got right doctrine, good. But if you got wrong doctrine, then there is real problems. Now, most of the men of God that God has given miracle power to in the 1950s and 60s, which was the heyday, you might say, of miracle power in ministries around the world, these people who became very popular and held worldwide ministries, most of them ruined their ministries. A lot of you don't know that. They did. My notebooks are full of literature from these men and organizations. I would be sick to bring all the data I have and lay them out by name and show you all what they are doing. It is sickening to see, and particularly disturbing to me to see that not just a half a dozen have prostituted the gospel, but men who have held firm through this for years are now all on the same bandwagon, and I've seen them, and I've been so disappointed time after time, say, oh no, not him too, not him also, getting on the same bandwagon. And I'll have to tell you, I lie not. A lot of what they're doing is pure charlatry and lies. I mean saying things that are absolutely contrary to the truth. Absolutely fleecing the people dishonestly. And you see, God, what's happened to those men? They've gone out, and I've been in many of their meetings. I mean, I have seen, And what's happened to them? Well, all day today, their ministries fizzled. They're gone. God can only bear it so long. And then, what's happened? Once they have reached out and brought many into physical healing, the people are living like they've always lived. Hasn't changed their life. God wants to do more than just heal bodies. Now, God is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is concerned about those in this body and other bodies of Christ where people are sick with terminal diseases and so forth, and they love God, and there's nobody who's got power with God that can lay hands upon them for those difficult cases and be healed. All cases are not the same. And as Jesus said in the message, it's not His will that these people wait for years for somebody to be raised up. He wants them healed and delivered. He cares for them and their suffering, waiting for people who will pay the price. And that's what it would amount to, is paying the price. I want to talk a little bit on how could miracle power ruin a man. God said, I don't want it to ruin you. It can destroy you. Would it really now? How can we receive miracle power safely? I want to talk briefly about these things. First of all, it is God's intention, and I'll say it again, that in general, that these healing ministries that God raises up, that is, if He gave miracle working power to 20 of you in this church, He wants you to stay under the authority of this church. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I know very well, that is, many people who would say, well, I feel entirely submitted to this body, and I'd never leave it. They would leave it. They would leave it. And God gave them miracle power. Even though they do not know that, they do not know their own heart, and they do not know what would happen to them, but they would. I know that. I'm not saying they all would. I'm saying many would. I'm saying that we're dealing with something that you have to be careful you don't quickly and lightly deceive yourself with. It's so easy to cover the blind over and cover the blind your eyes and say, oh, I would just do. My friend, you have to check and see what areas of your life lay still exposed. And unless those areas are taken care of, you may find out that your ministry would quickly come to an end, and maybe your spiritual life. We have sent out, some have gone out. You see, these men of God that have gone out, that God has used mightily in the world, they never intended to fall. When they went out there, they never intended to prostitute the gospel. They never intended to get to the place they got to. But there were areas untaken care of in their life that they did not face, and the enemy found a place in their hearts. He would want the healing ministry to stay under the government of the church. That's where it belongs. It does not belong outside of the government of the church. God never intended that there be church ministries and then a healing ministry. That is foreign to the word of God. God has intended the healing ministry to back up the word of God so the people will see the miracles and believe the truth and repent and get saved and filled and be built up and get ready for heaven. He isn't just sending miracle power to heal bodies and leave them in the same old place as they were before. It is to back up the word and not be an independent thing. It's part of a spiritual ministry, not just a bodily ministry. It is to be a part of the local assembly. Now, God does give miracles to apostles who have an apostolic ministry, a worldwide ministry. These men are to go to far-flung places and bring and lay foundations, new truths, which are old truths, but they were new to the present generation. And God does give them miracle power, and those people have a right, being apostles, to go to these different places with that, and they have a ministry to raise up churches. And also those in prophetic offices that God will use to accompany them and go to these churches and prophesy in the name of the Lord. I'm talking about real prophets now, not just people that call themselves prophets, and not just people with the gift of prophecy. And God will give them also miracle power for their ministry. And God will give evangelists. I'm talking now about New Testament evangelists like Philip, who go to the unsaved, and not church-hopping preaching evangelists, but Bible evangelists. Also, miracle power, that people will get saved, and so churches can be formed. And all of it is to start churches. In apostolic work, Paul went everywhere starting churches. The evangelistic work was to start churches. And these all, but others in the body are not intended to run out and play apostle. They are intended for that ministry to back up the particular truths of God and show the power of God in that assembly so people might see the power in the church body. Now, great healing power, miracle power. If God would give you great miracle healing power, and we want Him to do that. We want Him to do that. We have got quite a few people with a gift of healing, but I think all of us that have gift of healing will admit that we'll fall short of what we'd like to be and what's really needed. And God wants to give that to us. There's no reason He wants to give it to that person and that person and not give it here. But God does not want to destroy either this church or you. And it could be both if you're not very careful. I'm going to tell you some things. I want you to listen very, very careful. Some people, I can tell you, I wish I could screw an old head on some young shoulders here tonight, because I know that a lot of people listening say, oh, you wouldn't have to worry about me. And I know a lot of them say, oh, no, that wouldn't happen. My friend, I know different. I know different. And so I want you not to be too quick to wave aside what I say tonight. Now, you know what would happen if God give you great miracle power? Now, He wants to do that, so we need to put ourselves in a place where we can handle it. But a lot of people got their hands in the air thinking, I can handle it. And they don't know what they're talking about. If you don't handle it, disaster can ensue. Now, you will experience a great deal of pressure immediately by many groups. Neo-Pentecostal groups will immediately come flying to you. They will immediately try to get a hold of you and get you out into ministries. They will bankroll you around the world. They want to take you to Hong Kong and Africa and China and Russia and all in and outside the iron curtain, the bamboo curtain, around the whole world, and it's going to look good. You say, well, what a tremendous opportunity. The Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International will want you to speak and pray for the sick all over the globe, and it'll look like a great opportunity. Independence will want you to join them. There'll be a clamor. You've got real miracle power, I want to promise you, there will be a clamor. Businessmen run television stations, radios, they will want you on television, they'll want you to come down and do the thing with them. Christian financiers will want to finance you. They'll have ideas on how you should go, how you should dress, and what you should do, and they'll want to put you under managers, and they want to push you into ministries that they have for what they have in mind. And the public will rush you. Everybody, you'll get things in from the new people in the newspapers, and others will pick it up, and you'll get mail by the tens of thousands. And congregation itself will all run to you for all of their problems. You say, well, that sounds great. If it does, then please sign up in a book called Don't Send Me. Because you are not the one to send. If that sounds great to you, you don't know anything. In fact, you owe less than nothing. Less than nothing. You're in trouble already before you ever get started. You see, God does not want... He has to work with what He's got. But God does not want to go out and bring a lot of confusion by bringing a whole lot of power to a whole lot of people that have got a lot of Hollywood holiness, doing nothing for God, wrong in doctrine, without the real move and power of the Holy Ghost, with a lot of worldly rock music and so forth. And so everybody can see God in every single thing, so he never gets the people to come into one faith. You see, we're still in the last lap. The church world is kind of blind out here. They think everything right now is unity of the Spirit. Well, unity of the Spirit is good. God says that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. But he did not stop there. He went on to talk about coming into the unity of the faith. When we posed a letter concerning ministerial discussions on certain doctrines to the church here in Seattle, the ministers, what did they immediately do? Although it was a very carefully written, polite letter concerning going from the unity of the Spirit on into the unity of the faith, immediately retorted with arguments as though we don't need any unity of the faith. Immediately with arguments, God has called us around the Lordship of Christ. So? So what? So that means what would we do? Take my penknife and supposed to cut the scripture out then? Of course he's called us around the Lordship of Christ. What's that got to do with not coming into the unity of the faith? All kinds of half-baked, lame excuses and never give you any scripture, never show you that you're wrong. Some argument. See, they do not have the vision. But God wants his people to be one. And he wants them to have truth. And there are certain truths that God has given us that he wants the world to have, and he's not going to be happy until they get it. Now, you will be pressured by these groups to travel, to become a separate organization built around your name and power, to own television stations, have your own ministry, publish your own magazine under your name, under managers. Most of these men who've gone out in the 50s and 60s, their enterprises were not under their own name. Now, there's a reason for that. The managers can talk them into that pretty easily. All the big businessmen, all the tycoons, get to these ministers that would want to call it something else, hide their name, say, now listen here. Your ministry is because you have this miracle power. Your name is Jack Cole, right? Yeah, that's my name. Or your name is Tommy Hicks, right? Or whatever it happens to be. They'll say, all right, you're Old Roberts, right? Yeah. Okay, now, if people know that Old Roberts is the one, they're going to be there. So your magazine and your university and anything and everything you do must have Old Roberts, because some ambiguous name won't mean much. I mean, you need money to run this, right? Well, if you want money, you better listen to us. People know how to get money. I had a man who is a millionaire, who is a business tycoon, come to me and try to tell me how to run the church. I didn't mean in a wrong spirit, in the right spirit. He was trying to help me. He was telling me how he called up certain TV personalities, I told him how to do it. I said, now what you need to do is get one of these cowboys that have in Western that have, you know, that have, people like that kind of music, and a lot of them do, and these certain ones, and get him to dress up that way, and we've been converted. You need to get him in, and when the ex Hollywood group, you know, and get him to play, and you do this and this, he said, and he did what I told him, and they took surveys on how to get money and how to make advertisements and so forth. And he did what I told him, and he tried to tell me, now, this is what, and I thought, oh, Satan, get behind me. I don't need money that bad. If God can't run his own program in honest, straightforward, legitimate, right, scriptural, spiritual, proper basis, then he doesn't want it. But they're all out trying to find some way to make the buck, to get the game, as though God couldn't get his own program going, trying to jam God's kingdom into place. You won't have to crowbar it into place. It'll fit. Just walk with God and do what's right. Now, these people will be by your side, and it isn't very difficult for them to show you that they're right. Money-wise, they all right. People worship men. People are great men worshippers. And therefore, men worshippers will get, men who have men worshippers will get more money than those who hide themselves. And so, logic prevails. And they need the dough to last the big business enterprises. And I mean proper business enterprises. If they're going to get out on radio, television, get the halls and so forth, they need the finances. You can't do it with nothing. And so they talk them into it. Next thing you know, they've got the big name. Everything's glorifying them. Once they open that door, there's no end to it. The photographers all around, they want 11-7 shots of you all the time. But they want you to sign your name to all this stuff. Everybody else writes about you. They write all their stuff and just sign here on the dotted line. You don't even have time to read it all. Later on, you're surprised what you wrote. And the things have been written in your name and signed and all this kind of stuff. They write books for you and put your name on the label. And you're saying all kinds of things. You're bragging about yourself. They're dressing you up in all kinds of clothes. They get all kinds of goop to put on your face because of the lights and the camera and everything. They got you kneeling out in the field with this and so forth. And they got you praying over your stack of mail. They got you doing so many things that pretty soon you're a different person. They've corrupted you before very long. It's my judgment, and think what you will, it's my judgment, although Nixon was not in the same ballpark as the Apostle Paul, or Melchizedek even, or David, he went in dirty and sloppy, but in my judgment, that man came out 10 times more corrupted than when he went in. The presidency corrupted that man. I mean, the 10 kings, you know, back there had their way. They got their hooks into that fella. And not only him, but I don't think there's anybody who really goes into the presidency, but unless he's a skunk and scoundrel to begin with, that doesn't come out dirtied and soiled. And you have to be careful in the ministry. When you get out there and they get all the managers on you and everybody else, you're going to come out hurt. Usually. And there was a man named William Branham. I've been to many of his meetings. He was the most humble man that I've ever met. I did not know him in the last part of his ministry. He went off and he went astray. But I knew him in the first part of his ministry. I really believe that it was the pressure of the full gospel businessman and the public of the church that was instrumental in getting that man all confused. That's my personal opinion. From what I know and think I know. I think the pressure was too much for that man. He was a very simple man. But at any rate, that man was a man who had miracle power, and he knew God. He was no theologian, and they tried to make him a theologian. They tried to make him all kinds of things that he wasn't. They tried to lead him around. And when he got back to America, after Africa, and he had 2 good managers. They were good managers. I mean, he could have had some bad managers. He actually got good managers. And even with the 2 excellent managers he did have, he knelt and repented before God that he listened to his managers instead of God. It's almost an impossible, it's a pressure that very few men can handle. They will put upon you the title prophet, and there'll be a temptation to keep it. They will put it out even if you deny it. They'll still call you a prophet. The world is so mixed up today, the average charismatic has got the slightest idea what a prophet is. Every time a man has got some miracle healing or some power with God or he prophesies or he preaches under anointing, they call him a prophet. They don't even know what a prophet is, most of them. They want to make you a teacher, even if you're no teacher. They want you to answer theological questions by mail and radio and television and magazines personally. Well, that's not true, Jack. I know better. Thank you. I appreciate that comment. That's not true. They want you to pray for spiritual needs. Now, I want you to understand that because I said that William Branham, for example, I feel he was hurt by Full Gospel Benjamin's meeting and so forth, others, does not reflect upon Dema Shakarian or the leaders of the movement. I don't mean it was intentional. I don't mean it was anything that was underhanded, wrong, and dirty. I just mean that in their zeal, they themselves being financial laymen, businessmen, and not real Holy Ghost ministers from the old-time way that know these things, in their zeal, are running out, doing a lot of, well, really playing the minister, which I think they've made a big mistake in how they run that organization. They need to have men called of God who are ministers of God. I feel that the Full Gospel Benjamin's Fellowship International, and I'll say it publicly, has had a great plus benefit to the world. They've done a lot of good. They've had a tremendous opportunity. They've been a blessing to millions, but not near the blessing they could have been. They have done things wrong, totally wrong, in my judgment, as a very basis of the whole ministry. And that is this. They had the money, so they were going to do it and run it. That's the mistake. They that had the money should have called men who are called of God, anointed ministers who know the Word and know the things of God and the anointing and power of God, how to lead services and people. And they need to get men with integrity who are not compromisers, who've got clean hands, and they needed to bankroll those men and let those men run the ministry rather than playing minister themselves. They would have had a lot more success around the world. But they had the money, so it was their football. Now, you see, money can cause you to do things, and you need to be very careful about that. That's why I refuse to be bought. Now, they want you to pray. The people want you to pray for spiritual needs, even though God has given you a gift of a healing, miracle healing. They want you to counsel them, all kinds of counseling. They want you to settle church disputes and problems. They want you to pass judgment on churches and men of God and moves of God. They want you to take gifts. They'll press them on you. They'll want you to have all kinds of photos and write-ups and TV shows and meet the governor and the mayor and pray for the breakfast and pray when the legislature meets and do all kinds of things and meet the press and president. They want you to raise money. They'll have you ticketed and docked down the line to do everything possible. And you'll have a lot of pressure on you. Now, if you feel that God would have you be one of these people that he would give this miracle power to, then ask yourself these questions. I have 26 questions I'm going to give you. And the answer to these questions will determine whether you are in the right place for God to use you safely or whether it would destroy you. You know, you'll have to answer to the best of your knowledge to yourself. Ask yourself the question, do I care who gets this power, who heals, and why? If God would choose that brother instead of you, would you kill? Or would you say, well, praise the Lord. It's going to be a lot of hard work and a lot of responsibility. And God's called that brother. And therefore, God is going to do the work. And I don't really care who lays their hands on paraplegics and others in wheelchairs and so forth. Just as long as they get healed, it makes not a mite of difference. And I mean really say it in the right way. And not a benevolent, I lost the election type of speech, but really mean it. See. Do I care who gets the credit for healing power through me? If I went out and laid hands on 100 people, and somebody else got up, and my name is Paul, and I did this, and somebody else's name was John, and they got up and somebody said, you know, John laid hands on 100 people last week, and they got healed, they told all about the marvelous healings, and it was really you and not him, would you have the slightest care about correcting them, or would it make no difference to you? Is it the healing you care about, or who gets the credit? And you say, well, I mean, it's only Phil. Did you do any healing, or did God do all the healing? Would it really make any difference to you? If it would, then you are in a position. You see, don't... you are now would be where you end up. We're just trying to find if you have any little niches in there the devil can open up. Because if you have something in there that says, I have to get credit, you've got something he can work on. If you really care that you are in the limelight, instead of the people getting healed being the thing, you've got something he can work on. Number three, am I prone to pride? If you do, you're going to get demons visiting you. They'll visit you through many Christians, businessmen, trying to use. They'll visit you in your mind when they get through talking with you. They'll put pressure on you. They'll put all kinds of things in your mind. Number four, do I seek the limelight? Do I seek success? Do I seek healings? Or do I seek the bride? What's your motive for all this? Is it really and truly, and I don't mean the cliche that you can give me, but really and truly, is your real motive that God's power will back up the word and that people will become like Jesus and get to heaven? Or is your real motive is that you might stand with a powerful ministry? If you get such a thing, will it be the healing ministry that will be big to you, or will it still be the word? Will it bother you to back up the word, or would you want to stand alone in the limelight? Number five, could money turn my head? Are you subject to large amounts of money turning your head? Does travel sound great to me? Is another question. Oh, that sounds great to travel. It'll be a temptation if it does. If you just like to travel, then you've got something that can be worked on. And it can pick you out of the body. Would you like to be independent? That'll be another pressure. If you would like to be independent, there'll be a great, that thing will work until you, I'll tell you, people are great rationalizers. If you've got an opportunity to do something, and it isn't quite copacetic, and you want it bad enough, give you a week and you'll come up with enough rationalization to do it. People are fantastic rationalizers. They will find something to justify what they want to do bad enough, no matter what it is, practically. Number eight, would you glory in big ministry deals? That's down my alley. I would be really great, be in all this limelight and great ministry. Number nine, do you see anything wrong with going it alone, breaking the ties with the church, and having just a healing ministry? Many have done that. Well, many others have done it. Do you feel anything wrong with this? If you don't, you'll probably do that and go the same way, because you don't have the proper vision. Number 10, are you subject to impact by great crowds and by flattery? Are you moved by the fact that you'll have enormous crowds following you and out there and clamoring, and you get out of the car and they'll have to take you with security men in the back and everybody is there cheering? Does that mean anything to you? Are big men, is that something important to you? Number 11, do you thrive on attention? If so, you're in trouble. Number 12, would you lose a successful ministry? Would you be willing to lose a successful ministries without any problem? If you had a big successful ministry around the world and it required you to compromise all of a sudden, would you say, nothing doing, I don't compromise the word or anything else, my spirit? Or would you say, I can't lose all this? Would you be tempted to compromise? If so, you're done before you're finished. Because you will compromise. And you will go way down a way that's called compromise lane. And I can tell you, if I wanted to use the names and give you some history, I can tell you some men out here that have lost the power with God because of compromising. And I can tell you a lot of compromising they've done that have hurt the work of God. Do you know what a lot of the charismatics have done that God's given great power to? I don't say this to discredit them. I mean, you know, they loved God and they were willing. They had a lot of faith. They had a lot of things. A lot of them are going to be saved so as by fire. Some are going to lose their souls and others will make it in pretty good shape. Some will make it in glorious shape. But you know what's caused it? I lost my point. Let me find it. Yeah. give me a moment here. I'll see if I can pick it up again. Well, I don't remember my point. I can say this. Financial pressures have caused a lot of people to say, well, for financial reasons, I've got to do this. They became so popular, they couldn't let that group down or that group. They tried to get everybody in under the banner and got themselves in a lot of tight places and caused them to compromise. There's something else that I got, but I've lost it. Maybe I'll find it again. Would you be willing to sign Glory Hound advertising if it would bring in the money and business people told you you needed it and so forth? Number 13, would $1 million impact your decisions in any way? Can you be bought with $1 million? A lot of people don't realize. Some people, pardon this kind of a joke, but it just kind of hits it, so I'll tell it. I heard this joke told by somebody. This guy asked this girl, he said, will you sleep with me for $1 million? And she said, yes. Very fine dressed man, millionaire looking individual. And he said, would you sleep with me for $5? And she said, what do you think I am? He said, we've already determined that. We're just trying to settle on the price. Now the point is, you see what she was? People think if you put enough money on it, it's something different. It's no different. They'll do anything for lots of money, but they say, what do you think I am if it's low? Enough money come people away, and they'll begin to do things that they would never do. For enough money, they'll do anything. If you can be bought, you'll be in trouble. Number 14, would you like to be a public figure? If you would, you're going to have a problem. You see, a lot of people who've got a problem will hide it. They'll tell themselves they don't. They'll deny it. They'll lie to themselves because they don't want to miss the opportunity. So they'll go out and they'll ruin themselves. Number 15, are you now much anguished by the sick? Are you now much in prayer for them? And if not, then why do you feel maybe you might be the right one? If you don't really care that much about the sick, not anguished and much in prayer about the sick, why should God give you miracle power for the sick since you don't care that much about the sick? Now, the question is, why are you wanting this then? Could it be for self, really, than for the sick? If you want this ministry for yourself, it's not for yourself, and you can get in trouble. Number 16, would you pray secretly and privately for them as easily as publicly? Would you go out and pray for somebody, pray for a sick person in the home as easily as you would publicly? Would you pray in your own bedroom? If God said, I will heal all these you pray for, if you'll pray for them in your bedroom, and I'll bring the names to you, and you pray for them and I'll heal them, and nobody will know you did it, would you still take the ministry? Or would you not want it because you couldn't be out on the platform in front of the people? Same results. You see, any bubs, Bill? These are things you have to ask yourself. Number 17, do you want to be an apostle? And if so, why? Does that sound neat? Why? If you do, then maybe you would be tempted to play the big role. Number 18, could you be corrupted by money, power, prestige, or women? You're going to have all of them thrown at you. You get in that position. Number 19, are you humble and submissive? Can you handle this? I can tell you men that have been given this ministry that they ran into the ground real fast. I know two in mine that I was in their ministry, many meetings, and I saw they were so proud, they were so full of pride that their ministries were not destined to last any time at all. One young man, I remember, came to this church I was at. He was a young man. God gave him real miracle power. I won't tell you what his name is. I won't disgrace his name. Never heard of him since. I mean, he's gone. I don't know what ever happened to him. But all the years since, he never became popular. And he was at this church, and he had a prideful spirit. And he could quote scripture by the chapter. I mean, he sat there with the book closed. He'd quote the whole 26th chapter of Isaiah and something else. He could really quote, because I don't know how long he'd been practicing on it, but he could quote. His brother was there, and his brother got up and gave a testimony, tried to quote a scripture, didn't get it quite right. Afterwards, he got up and corrected him on the scripture publicly in front of everybody. Now, he didn't have to do that, just to show that he knew scripture, see. And then he bawled the people out and told them how many people he preached to in Chicago, and he didn't have to preach to them and all this. And he was so full of pride. The pastor, who didn't have the ability that young man had in any of those public ministries, told him, and he was kind to him in the way he said it, not quite accurate. He said, God will really use you if you stay humble. What he meant was, if you don't get humble, your ministry is going on the rocks. And that's what happened. I can tell you another man the same way. Money got a hold of him. And he was out there bragging about how much money. I drive the best Cadillacs, and I don't make any signs about it. And I have not have anything against a man who's being used of God in great ways and doing wonderful things for God to live well and drive nice automobiles. I do it. So the public always wants to attack a man of God if he has any money. And, you know, well, you get, how much money do you get, you know, and when you get, you get $70,000 a year, and what's the matter with this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And the man's doing a $50 million a year business, and he's writing all kinds of books and all kinds of records and everything else, and they want him to live in the poorhouse, and I'm against that kind of thinking. I think they're wrong. And the public always wants to accuse. And the bishops and cardinals and popes seem to live plenty high. Nobody attacks them. And their doctors and their lawyers live high, and they're proud of it. And all the Hollywood heroes live high, and they're proud of it. But for some reason, if he's a minister, they think he should be in the poorhouse. But that's quite a bit different than becoming a millionaire and owning hotels up and down the strip, like another one I could tell you whose name is. He had many hotels after a while, and getting fabulously rich and not plowing the money back into the gospel and living like kings sumptuously. That's quite another matter. Now, are you dogmatic concerning the vision and calling of God here at the chapel, what God is calling us to? And if not, why, you probably will find your way out and be independent. And God will not, it'll not do what God wants it to do. He wants it to do something relative to this body. That's what he said. That's what he's talking about. Something relative to the move, the word of God he's given, not independent of the word. Not to go out and just heal bodies. Like Warren Litzman said, I have been around the world for 17 years in miracle healing. And when I got through, I stopped and looked and said, what have I done? 17 years and everybody's got well, is all sick again, and still living the same sloppy way they ever did. And then God started giving him the message of the deeper life. Now, what happened? He came to realize that being a lone wolf out there for 17 years wasn't really the way. It lacked that which was to cause something to be solidified and grow into people that are ready for heaven. Now, number 21, are you able to take increased temptation by the devil? Because you're going to get increased temptation of the devil, believe me, many score. 22, are you in awe of big men? Do they scare you? Are they big men to you? If they're all, you're in trouble, because you're going to meet a lot of, quote, big men, unquote, and these big men are going to intimidate you. That's another question, is, are you prone to intimidation? Number 23. If you're prone to intimidation, you'll be intimidated. I had a minister call me up and said, well, Don, if that isn't what you believe, you better get with this person because he's a big man. And I thought, I didn't tell him this, but I thought, oh, brother. You came out of the Methodism and the Baptist movement and the Pentecostal movement, and you've been through the Latter Rain movement, and now you are talking about big men. You're going to let big men run you and scare you, and I'm supposed to be running around following big men. I thought it came out of something. It came out of that. I thought you were further along than that. That's what I thought inside. Big men. There isn't any big men. There's only a big God. And people are intimidated by big men. So worried about big men. God will take care of big men. He just wants people to not compromise the truth that he gives them. Are you prone to compromise? Are you prone to the easy way? Are you prone to avoid confrontation? To back down? To change your mind? To be swayed by argument? If so, you're going to get a lot of power out there on you. Number 24, are you sold out to God? totally. It better be. Number 25, would you consider it your ministry or would you consider it God's ministry? If you gave it away and gave it to somebody else after a while, would it bother you? Number 26, could you minister after services in the church or would you want the pulpit frequently? Not that you wouldn't have it necessarily, but does that make a big difference to you? Is it pulpit ministry you want or is it praying for the sick and getting people healed and so forth that you want? Would you go where there's most opportunity for healing? If somebody offers you and you could go someplace with a lot of opportunity for healing, was that where you would go? Is healing the main idea with you? And if it is, again, you get a problem. You say, but that's my ministry. No, it isn't your ministry. It's God's ministry, and it's a coupled ministry. It's a ministry coupled with the Word. Just like a music ministry. He does not want these people to sell out, get a promoter, and be taken all over the world in threes and fours, scattered, just singing, for all kinds of doctrines and groups. There have already been people that have tried to get some of our people to join them and go around the world places and sing songs. And some of them have asked me, and I said, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think that's what God is calling you for. I said, you think you're going to spend money and go halfway around the world to sing for some people that you don't even know what they believe? To bring the power of God to back up anti-rapture teaching, to back up several doctrines that you do not believe. Is that what you really want to do? To use God's power to back up false doctrine? People who are living sloppy Christian lives? Is that really what God's calling you to do? They forget what God's calling them to do. Some people think God's calling them to sing. Just to anybody who wants to listen. Just be a blessing. Look at the church world. Look at the last 40, 50 years. The church world is loaded with singers, loaded with preachers, loaded with all kinds of ministry. And look at the shape the church world's in. We're going to go, you have to do more. You see, the problem is everybody is looking at everybody else wanting to do the same. That is not good enough. It has proven defunct. It has not brought about the body of Christ. We brought forth wind and have not brought forth a man-child. Now he wants something in the last day that will not copy what's done before, because if in the next 10, 20 years, whatever we have till Jesus comes, if it is going to be the same as what we've had in the last 200 years in America, we're not going to have a man-child produced. We're not going to have the bride of Christ. We're not going to get there. Something has to be done far bigger and better than what we've had. And I don't mean men's program bigger. It's going to have to be God's program, based on a different basis, done in a different way. And I'll tell you, if this thing is done right, if this thing is done under the church that God puts it under, and will go out and open doors, this truth could go out across America and nothing flat. There could be churches across America open up with power with God, and everybody would run in if this church would get the vision. If just this church would get a vision, and we would have people go on their faces and decide that they are going to get in a position with God like the world has never seen, empty themselves out and become like Christ, and get these ministries, I can guarantee you that there would be such a shaking. I don't mean light ministry, they're teeny ones. I don't mean just to get a few legs drawn out. I mean something big. I'll guarantee you that the church world across America would take notice real big and fast. You'd have opportunity and openings on every television, radio, or anything all across the nation as far as Christian stations are concerned. And if we wouldn't take any of them, excepting couple it with this, with the testimonies and the truths that we have, that God wants them to have, then the truths would hit America. People are willing to believe when they see the power of God there. And all of a sudden, it would break down barriers, and you would see a flood come in, and there would be a unity of the faith overnight. In a short time, the truths would sweep this, and then it would sweep the world. But if it went out and independently, just healing bodies, it would lose, and the power and the truths of the gospel would not go out, and we'd still have no man-child. All we'd have is a spiritual Mayo clinic. better shaped bodies for people to live sloppy in. That's all you'd have. And God wants a lot more than that. Number 27, I've got one more. Are your standards of integrity super high? Because your integrity is going to be tested at every point. Now, the church also, and I'm almost done, the church also would require much teaching. There'd be much teaching would have to be sure that we have a balance. Because God doesn't want to ruin the assembly. I'll tell you, most of the Christian world runs after men displaying power. And most men will accept all the praises and gifts they can get. Brother Sumrall, over in the Philippines, 25, 30 years ago, when God was using him over there, in apostolic ministry, and over in China, God told him, leave the country, the people will worship you instead of me. See, people are great men worshipers. You have to really teach them carefully, or they'll be sucked right into it. And a lot of men are getting all they can get. So that's part of Jimmy Jones' problem. He says, you know, he says, believe in Jimmy Jones instead of believe in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, I know that man was never, as I understand it, never in the right position with God ever. Now, most Christians think miracles are under teachers. 1 Corinthians 12:28, first the apostles, God has set in the church, first the apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. But if you ever find a miracle man, I'll tell you the totem pole will change fast. They'll put him up on top. He will be first. The teacher will be last. They will go to the miracle man to find out about, to get the theology. There are people that have got miracle power with God that do not have straight theology. In fact, they can't even give you a good understanding of the miracle gifts. And the gifts of the Spirit. All they know is how God's using them. They do not even have the gifts of the Spirit straightened out in their own mind. They don't have to have it for their gift. He gives the miracle power and they lay hands and people are getting it. That's all they know. And I don't mean that's all they know, but I mean they do not know. That doesn't mean they're a teacher. They are not the right one to go to. Like I said before, it's like going to your plumber to get your dentist work done or going to your doctor to get your plumbing done. Your doctor can't necessarily fix your automobile. The high school dropout might do a better job in your car than your doctor. You can't go to just one person for everything because he's used in some way. People got the idea that if he's used with miracle gifts, it means you're especially close to God, especially holy, especially close to God. So you are on the inside track, so you know all these things that nobody else knows. And so they'll run from all the teachers and run right to you and ask you for theology and counsel about marriage and this and churches. And you're supposed to know everything because you are so close to God. That's not true at all. Absolutely, totally naive. All it means is God gave you a power, a gift, just like gave a person a gift of speaking in tongues. You know that a person who has a gift of speaking in tongues doesn't necessarily straight on tongues. Can't necessarily teach it, or he doesn't necessarily can counsel with you anything else. Same thing with miracle power. Doesn't mean that you're a theologian or understand the things of God at all. They get things all backwards and twisted. It doesn't mean you've got the most reliable information, but that's exactly what people will do. And in spite of all the teaching you can give them, practically, everything in them will cause them to rush to do that. And most people can't resist that, and there'll be a problem. There'll be a lot of teaching necessary for the church. There could be some good church-sized church splits because of it. And there'll be people upset, and there'll be people taking factions. They'll go with that miracle worker, and they'll go down, I'm of Paul, well, I'm of Apollos, well, I'm of Cephas. And I'll stand up and say, was Christ divided? And they'll say, yeah, but he's this, and he's got more power than you, and this and that. And so away they go, and they go this way, and they end up in a church split. We don't want that either. Now, I'm just going to close by saying, it sounds like I'm discouraging what God said. I'm not. Because if God says it, we should have it. But what I'm saying is, brother, it's going to take some real facing of some facts. Now, I hope that everybody didn't say, oh, well, if that's what it takes. All I've said is all the things that you shouldn't do. And we should be able and want to not do the things we shouldn't do. We should be safe. I mean, we really should do all of this anyway for any ministry we have. These are proper things to keep a balance between here and the out-translation of the saints. And so, just showing you, you see, The problem is people have got the idea that you can live in a little bit of Hollywood holiness and go out and God can do all these things and you don't think you get in trouble. I want to let you know you get in trouble. And all you have to do is look at these men. These men were not babies and a lot of these men that went out and got hurt were really good men. Really good men. And men who prayed and had faith with God and loved people. I mean, there was a lot of real good quality men went out there. You know, the Apostle Peter went out and failed, but he was a good man. David failed, he was a good man. He didn't say he failed completely, but I mean, he failed and God forgave him, of course. Some people have failed and gone through it. Some didn't, never got through it. I'm not trying to blame them. I'm just saying if some of the best men fell, where does that leave some others? We've got to really be careful. In fact, you need to be careful in any ministry. Every ministry is fraught with difficulties. I can tell you people, if I wanted to get out and start laying all the groundwork, let you know why things have happened to them in their ministries and things, because they've got problems that were never really taken care of. Let's get these things taken care of and dying to self and coming to the right, get ourselves in the right shape so we don't get hurt. Because the devil has got your name on the strategy board, and as soon as God gives you power, your name goes up on the board, and he calls the demons around, and they begin to draw all kinds of force vectors and arrows and things towards you, and your name goes down, then the plotting starts, and all the calculators start running, and they're hunting for your weaknesses, and all the lights on you, and they're checking you, and guys are signing to you, and that's exactly what happened. Don't think it won't. They are laying traps for you. The moment you become a big enough threat, they'll pull the manpower in and start pushing it at you. And don't think you don't have to go through things that you wouldn't have to go through when you had a lesser position. I've had to go through 100 times more than I ever did before I became pastor here. And I'll tell you, you do not know. Life was simple. When I was down in the pew and just, you know, I was busy for the Lord doing all kinds of ministries. Life was simple before I took this job. We don't just get a chance to be the big wheel. I mean, you get a chance to, you know, big wheels collect a lot of dirt, mud and stuff, and they have a lot of tough grind to go through out in the road of life. And make sure that you can get through it all. Now, I hope I've encouraged you to seek God rather than discourage you to drop the whole thing and quit. But God's going to give to somebody. There's already some people in this assembly that are saying, I'm going down on my face until God wants to give me this power and wants to use me. And I can't wait for the day when these crippled people in our assembly and others will, all of a sudden God will start healing. You say, well, one last question. You mean it's all going to stay in these walls? I didn't say that. This church is not limited to these walls. This church is going around the world. But this church means more than these walls. It means a message. It means a church government for the safety of the individuals involved. God told one young man, he said, I said, you stay under this church government, and he said, and for your safety, and under the wisdom of his pastor, and he didn't do it, and he got into trouble. God has his own way to do things, and he wants it done with safety. He knows, and he wants to give it more than we want to have it. He just doesn't want to hurt anybody. I think if we'll get down and really begin to pray and seek God, this isn't the only thing he wants to give. He wants all the gifts of the Spirit in full operation. He wants you all to have gifts of the Spirit. Everybody here should operate gifts of the Spirit. Everybody here should have a ministry. Everybody should have anointed ministry. I mean, there's a lot of homework to do, friends. And now that God is really moving us and challenging us, we're moving, let's move up to it. One last thing. You know how to have ministries? Let me tell you something. One thing. Instead of walking downhill, we need to rise up and realize our privilege in God and step out and start doing by faith. I don't mean just run loose, helter-skelter. I mean start trusting God to do things. Put yourself in that anointed position, trusting God, and see what God will do. He'll do a lot more than we think he'll do if we'll get in right shape, and he can trust us with it, and we'll step out. God bless you. Would you stand, please?